comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, whoever you are and wherever you are, to the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. We are here because you matter and because you have a right to know. Now, last night's show certainly stirred up a lot of, shall we say, interest. Of course, some folks don't stay with us throughout the entire show and they miss out. They miss out on literally universes of information. And those who did not stay with us for the entire show last night did just that. They missed out on entire universes of information. They missed out on information that really would have blown their minds, and it's information that will never be repeated on this show. So for those who missed it, I'm truly sorry for your decision to leave us early, but that opportunity will not come around again. That info really was just too sensitive for us to repeat it. Now tonight you have another opportunity to know and to grow. The choice, of course, is yours. I hope you choose to know and grow. The information I'm going to share with you tonight is literally mind-boggling. You may come to conclusions you never thought you would. You know that when I find a black hole in information, I jump right in and go after it. But when we literally watch a black hole being manufactured and information goes missing, I'm even more determined that you should know that information. And when I say at the top of every show that we are here because you have a right to know, it's not just a cliche. It is the reason this show exists. And tonight, I'm going to reveal information to you that some very powerful folks in our government have tried to keep you from knowing. They may have classified this information by now, I don't know. But they did have it in the public domain for a very, very few hours. And what is in the public domain remains in the public domain. You cannot unbreak a window. If the public is awake enough to notice it, it is in the public domain now. Generally speaking, the public is fairly comatose when it comes to anything beyond their iPhones and texting their BFE. Their lives generally consist of chitter-chatter and snit-snat nonsense that has no relationship to the realities in which we actually exist. So this information tonight is information that most of the public could not even begin to understand. Now, when it comes to knowing even the basics of what I'm going to talk about tonight, the general public are generally several decades behind, and they will not likely ever catch up. But our audience, the people that listen to this show night after night, do tend to be very astute, very tuned in to the realities that surround us. I don't think you will have any difficulty at all understanding this information or grasping its importance. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I said at the opening of the show, at the top of the hour, the general public tends to be rather comatose. And, you know, I every time I say something like that, I get email from one or two people all incensed that I have insulted the audience. Let me tell you, if you go to the doctor and the doctor says, okay, look, we've done some tests and you've got cancer and we have to operate, do you get incensed and tell the doctor you've insulted me? You know, the truth is the truth, and the truth is the general public barely shows signs of mental life sometimes. The general public is comatose. That doesn't describe this audience, as is quite evident when we open the phone lines and you call in with your questions and your comments. It's quite evident in the email that you send me. I can tell you this. I think you're going to get this tonight. You usually do. And I can tell you this as well. I can and will verify for you tonight that someone does not want you to know what you will know when this show is over. Now, this show tonight really sort of began earlier this week when we had a caller, Jackie from Florida. You would think I'm from the Northeast by saying Florida, wouldn't you? But Jackie from Florida, who said, you know, I had a friend that I called. He lives in Tennessee. I asked him to shoot some pictures of the sun tonight as it's setting. He's a photographer. And he did, and he sent me a couple of pictures. And, boy, it's pretty impressive. There's something really big next to the sun. And some of you have seen those pictures. I posted them on the website. They are in the KSS report. And so you can go to my website, look for the KSS report on the left-hand side, and you will see the article. And the photographs are posted with the article. But one of those photographs is... he shot with a filter on the camera, and then one of the photographs he shot without a filter, but just did the camera setting so that he could, so the camera could look into the sun and not get just a blur of white, bright light. And in both of the photographs, there is something really, really big next to the sun. It's quite obvious. It's close to the sun. And when people, and he's not the only one, there are people all around the world who have been shooting photographs similar to this, and asking, you know, what in the world is that? Well, when you shoot this from Earth, when you view it from Earth, it looks like a sphere. It looks like a ball. And a lot of people have said, well, you know, we think that must be Planet X, or that's Nibiru coming in. But, of course, that doesn't really fit the descriptions that we have from ancient times of Nibiru. So I thought it was really interesting, and I asked the question, is it Nibiru? Is it Planet X? And by the way, when were the powers that be planning on telling us about this, whatever it is? Well, tonight I'm going to focus on the mystery of the missing day. It is related, but did you know that there is a day that has gone missing? An entire day is missing. In fact, there may be more than one day missing, but for sure, one entire day has gone missing. And I even know which day it was. It was June 29, 2011. Now, you thought that everything was fine on June 29th, didn't you? I mean, you just lived your life, and you probably even remember some of the details, some of the things you did on June 29th, because it was just a few days ago. In fact, you can probably swear under oath that you lived that day, and it did not go missing. And yet here I am declaring to you that it did go missing. So it seems like something's wrong here. It seems like someone is off their rocker here a little bit, doesn't it? Well, actually, we're both right. You did live that day. And for you, it didn't go missing. But someone powerful manufactured its disappearance from a very important list. It was there. It was on the list. And then, poof, just like that, it was gone. But why? And what is this list? Well, if you will go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, you see the picture about tonight's show, click on that picture. Now, what's going to open up is a web page that has a list. And that's the list of which I am speaking. It's a web page about the sun. So what's so important about the sun? I mean, in relationship to this show, well, the sun, of course, is unquestionably the most important feature in Earth's sky. Without the sun, there would be no life on our planet at all. So it is important. What happens to the sun, what happens on the sun, has an almost immediate impact on the Earth. Consequently, many scientists and many scientific agencies, both civilian and military, have an interest, a tremendous interest, as a matter of fact, in studying the sun. Now, there's a system for studying the sun that you've probably heard of. It's called the SOHO satellite. And the SOHO is a system that is flying in space above us. It has cameras trained on the sun at all times, as well as all kinds of sensors gathering data. So a lot of people are familiar with the SOHO website, where you can see the images coming back from its stereo ahead and stereo behind cameras, right? You've seen those pictures, and I've used some of them on the show. I will be using some on the show tonight. What you may not know is that there are other cameras attached to that system. Now, one set of cameras watching the sun does not send their pictures to the scientists responsible for the SOHO website information. In fact, there's a set of cameras out there looking at the sun that send their data to the Naval Research Laboratory to an operation called the Sun-Earth Connection Coronal and Heliospheric Investigation. They must absolutely budget millions of dollars to somebody out there to come up with names like that. Anyway, it's the SECCHI, SECHI. The cameras are called Core 1A, Core 1B, and those are on the stereo camera behind, facing behind. Then facing forward, the Core 2A and 2B. So there's Core 1A, Core 1B, Core 2A, Core 2B. And the page that you've opened by clicking that picture on my website is about the camera called Core 2A. Now just keep it open and keep it in mind, and we'll come back to that. We've already taken a look at this big, big object up there next to the sun as it appears when you look at it through cameras here on Earth. We also have seen video from Soho, and maybe we noticed and maybe we didn't, but in the Soho video that we see, this object is there, and those who are watching our TV channel can see it. You can see the outline of it anyway. The sun is to the left, and there's this big thing out there near the sun. And you can see the outline of it partially. It just seems to be sitting there. Now, obviously, people would say, well, it can't just sit there. It has to be moving. Yeah, well, maybe. But it gives the appearance of just sitting there. It does not give the appearance that it is moving. In fact, we haven't paid a lot of attention to this anomaly. We've looked at other things around the sun that sort of look like spaceships around the sun. So I took a look at this video, and I did a still frame to see if I could catch what is this thing. What does it look like? Now, at first glance, it looks like a big ring. It looks like a big circle. And then I looked at it closer and realized it isn't. It's more hexagonal shaped. It's more like a hexagon. Now, it's got a bright spot right in the middle of the right side of it, a big bright spot. But it is hexagonal. And in fact, it doesn't look like a sphere, a ball, at all. Well, I've read about what people thought about this, and I had not seen anything that really sort of melted my butter in any of the opinions that people had about this. And I guess everyone except the actual scientists working on this, we would have to say our opinions are just that. They're just opinions. The scientists that are working with these satellites probably are beyond opinion. They probably know what this is. But nobody's talking about it. And these pictures, once this caught my attention, and I'll tell you how it happened, but once it caught my attention, me and one other person did some research on how far back has this thing been showing up in pictures. Now, I read that it has been showing up for 5.5 years. Maybe. I could only find pictures back to 2007. So that's, what, 2007, 8, 9, 10, and 11. That's 4 years. And maybe there are pictures that go back 5.5 years, but I couldn't find those. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying I couldn't find those. The person assisting me also could not find those. So, but at least back to 2007, this thing has been sitting right out there, showing up in photographs, showing up in video from the Core 2A and Core 2B cameras. And nobody's talking about it. We've talked about these other things that look like spaceships. We've talked about things that look like, some of them actually look like very, very, very huge, long kind of a mothership. But nobody's really talking about this. And certainly the scientists are not, and certainly the military is not. Well, on that page that you opened up from SETI, there's a list down the side. If you click on any of those links in that list, those are dates. It's the year, the month, and the day. So, like July the 4th is 2011-07-04. And if you click on any of those, a new frame opens up, and you have three different resolutions that you can choose from, 1024, 512, and 256. And you can click on one of those, and when you do, it opens up a list of photographs taken on that day by the Core 2A camera. And in all of those, you can see this object. All of those will be blue. And you can see this object off to the right of the sun in every one of those photographs. It's been sitting out there for a long time, and nobody has been talking about it. We always talk about the latest pictures from SOHO. But when's the last time you heard anybody talking about the latest pictures from Core 2A or Core 2B? Nobody ever talks about it. Well, that's a little curious. But what's even more curious to me is the missing day. The missing day is June 29th. If you look at your screen, if you've got that open and you look at it, you will see June 29 is not there. You will see 2011-06-28, and the next one is 2011-06-30. June 29 is gone, but it used to be there. It used to be there. So the question then, this thing's sitting out there. It's been out there in photographs since 2007 at least, and maybe longer. The scientists certainly know it's there. It's not a camera anomaly, because it would have gone away by now, or it would have, that same anomaly, as the camera moves, you know, the camera's in orbit, and as it moves, the shot that it takes is different. The perspective it gets is different. And we would see that anomaly in a lot of other places, but we don't. It's not a compression anomaly. You know, that's one of the favorite things that we get from NASA when someone thinks they've seen something in a SOHO photograph or video. NASA sort of gives us that patronizing smile and, well, you know, it's good to be observant, but that's a compression anomaly. We'll be back right after this compression anomaly. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking this evening about that thing out there by the sun. So the question is, some of the questions are, it's been out there in these photographs at least since 2007, at least since then. Furthermore, we can deduce that it is not a camera anomaly. It is not a compression anomaly. Would every picture every day have the same compression anomaly in exactly the same place in these pictures? No, it would not. And so whatever it is, it's not talked about. And if it's been out there in these pictures and nobody's been talking about it, been out there at least since 2007. The question is, why did June 29 go missing? Why now? Why June 29? It's just missing. It's missing from Core 2A and Core 2B. I think probably they would say, well, we had some problem with the cameras. But remember, June 29 was there. there are people that downloaded the pictures from it. And then it went missing. It's gone. Well, I didn't know about that. Somebody sent me some of the pictures. Now, I have to tell you, when I first saw the pictures, well, let me tell you this. The person that sent me the pictures told me, sent me two pictures, and told me that, you know what, I was going to download all of the pictures, but after I got these two pictures downloaded, and I was trying to download another one, all of a sudden, that page disappeared. So while the pictures were being downloaded, I mean, they were put out there for public consumption. While the pictures were being downloaded, poof, the page vaporized. Or that link on it did. That link would take you to the page that had those pictures. So that link suddenly went nowhere. And then the link disappeared. How about that? So why? What is there about June 29th on the Core 2A satellite or camera? What is there about the pictures from that camera for that day? Well, let me show you one of the pictures for those who are watching on our TV channel in the members area. The picture that's on the screen shows sort of a close-up and personal view of whatever that is. Now, when I saw this picture, I immediately said, well, it's not a planet. It's not shaped like a planet. As a matter of fact, it sort of looks like a big flat rock out there. And then I took a look at the second picture that was sent to me. The second picture that was sent to me is this picture. Now, what we're looking at, I'm sorry, that's not it. This is what was sent to me. What we're looking at is that object, but it's been zoomed in. And I can see it looks like a hexagon. And there's a place up near the upper right where it looks like it's got some kind of something sticking out of it. And the more I looked at it, the more I said, you know, that looks like a spaceship. And it's not a sphere. That looks like a gigantic spaceship. Remember, from Earth, when people take pictures of that from Earth, it looks like a sphere. In this sort of up-close shot, this zoomed-in shot, it doesn't look like a sphere at all. And my mind just tried to fill in, what could that be? And, you know, it kind of looks like a hexagon-shaped spaceship. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I took this picture and I brightened the contrast, or brightened the picture and increased the contrast, and this is what I got. What we're looking at, if you can imagine, some kind of structure or maybe some kind of space cloud or something like that, that's in the shape of a backward C. That we can see. Inside of that backward C, there is an area of disturbed light that sort of looks like it could be a sphere, but maybe not. So, I thought, when I first saw this, I thought, that is a huge spacecraft, and it's we are we're only able to see sort of the edges of it. And, you know, maybe that's a huge spacecraft. But there is something that convinced me, and I told several people that's what it was, because at that point that's what I thought it was. And I said, man, it's unbelievable. But then when we go back to the first picture that I took a look at that was sent to me, what we see in this picture, it's not zoomed in so much, what we see is the sun is to the left. We see waves of radiation around the sun, literally looks like waves, and we see rays of light leaving the sun. It's not just light, there are rays of light, rays of energy shooting out from the sun. One of those rays of energy goes right through the middle of this backward C. And comes out the other side. It doesn't pass in front of it. It goes right through it and comes out the other side. In other words, we can see that ray of energy going through where we think, where our minds have told us there's a spaceship, or where our minds have told us there's a sphere. We can see that ray of energy goes right through that area. Therefore, there's not a sphere there, and there's not a spaceship there. So then the question is, what is it? Well, so long as the photographs were sort of distant, and so long as the photographs were not all that clear, a little bit blurry, etc., etc., I guess everything was okay. But apparently on June 29, they must have come up with some photographs that showed a little bit too much detail. And I think that is probably the case. If their photographs on the Core 2A have been showing this object, whatever it is, all the way back to 2007, maybe further back than that. But if they've been, if it's been on their photographs, and this is the Naval Research Laboratory, if it's been on their photographs all the way back to 2007 and maybe further, they've seen it, obviously. So they knew it was there, and they've been putting these pictures up on their website. The picture that our TV audience saw, that's a blue cast, a blue picture. Instead of being orange light, it's all in blue. It's got a blue filter. That picture is right off of the Core 2A website. It's just a different date. So they've been putting these pictures up there. You can look at every single date that's there on the Core 2A website. Every single date. You will see that object in the photographs. So they've been putting it up there. They haven't actually been hiding it. So what changed? What changed on June 29? They haven't been talking about it. Haven't been calling your attention to it. But what happened on June 29? I'm not sure, because I didn't get to see all of the photographs. I only got to see two. And the two that I saw show, one of them shows the sun on the left side, and then this object sort of in the center of the photograph. It's kind of hexagon shaped, but it doesn't have the body of a spacecraft through the middle, and it doesn't have a sphere through the middle, because we can see this ray of light going right through and coming out the other side. And it does not illuminate a sphere. It does not illuminate the body of a spacecraft there. So I saw this picture. That was from June 29. And then I saw a zoomed in and sort of a brownish cast picture And actually, you can see the ray of light going through that area in this picture as well. So, if it's not a spacecraft, I mean, look, if this thing turned out to be a spacecraft, if that's what it was, I could understand why they wouldn't be telling us. Now, I think everybody listening to the show would say, well, why? They ought to tell us. Yeah, but these are military people. And they have something like that that's a big, big deal, a big, big emergency. Or they would see it as a big emergency. And they would keep that very, very secret. And they would there would be all kinds of secret meetings and secret plans going on and all kinds of that stuff before you ever got to know about it. And so if it was a spacecraft, I could, in my mind, I could say, okay, well, maybe on June 29, they suddenly got pictures that were clear enough for them to deduce that it really is a spacecraft. Maybe that's what happened. And maybe that's why they jerked those pictures off of the internet. Maybe that's why. But like I said, we can see that it's not a spacecraft. We can see that beam of light going right through the heart of where the body of the spacecraft would be. It just passes through there because there is nothing there. It goes in one side and comes out the other. Why? Because there's not anything there to stop it. So what is this big backward C out there? It is big. It's big. We can see it with cameras. We can see it from Earth. As a matter of fact, it looks to be, of course you can't tell for sure because we don't know how far away it is, but it looks to be almost a quarter of the size of the sun. Now, that's pretty big. And I'm not saying that that is its size, so, you know, don't anybody write to me and display moronic intelligence by claiming I said that. I'm saying it appears to me. We'll be back, and I'll have some more photographs and information right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about this thing around our sun. I've got another photograph and a little bit of discussion here, and then I'm going to open the phone lines. I'm not going to open them just yet, but I will open them here in just a few minutes. Before we go any further, I want to disabuse you of the idea that this is some sort of camera anomaly or some sort of compression anomaly with the photograph. That's the standard answer. See, they can't, it's out in space. It's up next to the sun, so they can't say it's Chinese wedding candles. All right? That won't work. They can't say it's the Air National Guard from Maryland dropping flares. That won't work. So what we usually hear is it's a compression anomaly, and sometimes, in fairness, sometimes there are compression anomalies, and they look like it, too. But when you've got photographs that have like 40 spacecraft-looking things around the sun, you got 40 compression anomalies in a series of pictures? Yeah, it's a little hard to buy. But let's focus on this one. Let's focus on the one that's the subject of the show tonight. Is this some kind of flaw in the camera? Or is it some type of compression anomaly in the photographs? A compression anomaly happens, of course, when they start streaming the photograph back to Earth and they start compressing it into a photograph. It streams data and they compress it into a photograph. And sometimes there are compression weirdos that happen, compression anomalies that happen. And they look like it. But is that what this is? Or is it a flaw in the camera? Well, if so, it seems odd to me that cameras here on Earth can see it too. Cameras here on Earth have been photographing this thing for a number of years as well. And people have been asking, of course, they when you shoot it from Earth, you don't have the detail that you get in these photographs from cameras that are out there in space looking at the sun. So you don't get the same detail, but you see that there's something there. And there have been photographs taken all over this planet that show there is something right up there next to the sun. And these photographs have been showing up on the internet for a number of years. So if it's a compression anomaly, and if it is, or if it is some flaw in the camera, it is a magical camera because it's affecting the cameras on Earth. Does that make sense to you? It has to be some kind of magical camera, some alchemical powers it has, because it's affecting the cameras on Earth and causing them to see the same thing. So it is my opinion that what we're looking at is a real object that really is out there. Now, I suggested that the reason that it went missing, maybe the reason that day, June 29, went missing, might be because these photographs showed a little bit too much detail. Too much detail of what? Well, everybody that is rational and reasonable knows that Zechariah Sitchin was just a kind of a funny, nutty old guy that could write pretty good books, right? I mean, that's the opinion of a lot of scientists. Not all of them. You'd be surprised how many scientists have read his books and think he's pretty much on target. But a lot of scientists, mainstream science, at least their official public statements, well, you know, he was kind of a fun and a little bit nutty old guy that could write pretty well, and he wrote some books that sold real well, very popular, but it's bad science. And what is it that he wrote about? Well, he wrote about a lot of stuff, but one of the things, the key things that he told us about was this planet that he said the Sumerians called Nibiru. And he told us the story about how this planet, according to the Sumerians, comes through it's part of our solar system, but it comes through near the sun and near the earth and near the inner solar system about every 3,600 years. They called it the destroyer. They called it the planet of the crossing. They called it the destroyer, the winged planet, and the planet of the crossing. And every time it comes through, it creates disturbances on all the other planets in the inner solar system. It's on a very long elliptical orbit, according to Sitchin, and Sitchin would say, well, that's according to the Sumerians. And it is not only on a long elliptical orbit, it's orbiting the sun in the opposite direction from all the other planets. So where we have all the other planets going around the sun one way, we have Nibiru going around the sun in the opposite direction. And so it comes in and it makes a close turn around the sun and goes back out. It's not a little planet. It's a big one. According to Sitchin, it is occupied by intelligent beings whom the Sumerians called the Anunnaki. All right. After Sitchin broke that news, and everybody else in the world knew about it because he put it in his books, of course, lots and lots of people started writing their opinions about it and becoming experts overnight. And people who cannot read Sumerian became experts about it. Now, I want to tell you that I have no reason to defend Zachariah Sitchin. I never knew him. I've read his books. Never talked with him on the telephone. Tried to exchange email with him, and my email was intercepted and answered by some assistant. There are no close connections between me and Sitchin. Having said that, I still maintain that people who cannot even read Sumerian have no business criticizing Sitchin and his translations. There are people who do that. There are people who criticize Sitchin and his translations, and they say it's a fraud, and they don't read Sumerian. Now, when someone who is an expert in the Sumerian language, who reads Sumerian, comes out and says that, that will have some weight. But people who don't read Sumerian have no business criticizing his translations. What we do know is what he said those Sumerian texts say. I don't read Sumerian, so the only way that I can possibly have any idea what those Sumerian texts say is if I read the translations provided by someone else. Sitchin provided some translations from Sumerian into English, and he says it tells this story of Nibiru and a race called the Anunnaki. Now, there are other people who have come along and said, well, this Nibiru is not a planet. It's a brown dwarf, and it has seven planets that it drags with it, and some of them have moons around them. Some people say it is a planet. When we come back, we'll get into that. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. All right, let me wrap this up, and then we'll open the phone lines, but not yet. The phone lines are not open yet, all right? I was talking about Zachariah Sitchin and his books that tell us about Nibiru, right? Okay. Now, there are a number of people who listen to this show who think that they're still asking, you know, do you think Nibiru really exists? And I still have asked that, and I probably still will ask it. Do you think Nibiru really exists? Do you really think Nibiru is coming in? And I've had guests on this show that say, it's here, it's in our solar system. And people say, well, if it's here, why can't we see it? And if it is here, and if this thing is Nibiru, cameras from Earth are seeing it. Now, I run into people sometimes who, on the subject of UFOs, extraterrestrials, Nibiru or Planet X, things like that, they take the attitude, well, if it's really for real, how come I haven't ever seen it? Well, let me ask you something. Are heart transplants real? Have you ever seen one? Are heart transplants real? Do they really happen? How do you know? Have you actually ever watched one happen? Most of us, I would say 99.99% of us, would have to say, no, we have not actually watched a heart transplant happen. And out of that bunch, I think about another 90% of that bunch would not be able to watch a heart transplant happen because you're too queasy about stuff like that. Most of us are. But you don't have any doubt that heart transplants do happen, do you? Well, no, you don't. And why don't you have any doubt about that? You've never seen one. Well, because credible people have said that heart transplants happen. Credible people have said that they have had heart transplants. Okay, credible people have said that UFOs exist as well. I mean, I would consider presidents and generals to be pretty credible. And there are presidents and generals that have said, yeah, it's real. They exist. Well, if it's real, how come I haven't seen it? Nibiru. Have you taken your camera out and put a filter on it, aimed it at the sun, and shot any pictures? You can't see it if you're not looking for it. Now, I'm not saying for sure that I think this is Nibiru. But I am going to show you something really curious about this that may be the reason the day went missing. I'm not sure where people have come up with the evidence or with the information that Nibiru has seven planets and that Nibiru is a brown dwarf. Others say Nibiru is a planet and it's dragging with it seven big moons and a big debris field. I don't know which one of those would be accurate. James Horak says it's like a gigantic pile, gravel pile coming at us. And that's kind of the description that other people have given, where they say, you know, it's dragging all kinds of rocks and debris and so forth, and it's got seven moons. Well, I'm not sure which one of those would be correct, but let's just take a look at the pictures again from the missing day. We got two pictures from the missing day. We're going to take a look at the one where I just brightened it up a little bit. And now I'm going to overlay that picture with some information. What we see is that there is a central bright spot in the curve of this C, this backward C, the letter C, but backwards. There's a central bright spot, and that central bright spot actually has the appearance of, you know, it could be that that is a sphere surrounded by a big cloud of space trash. I mean, in the middle of all of that cloud, there appears to be a sphere in there. Certainly could be. But then, if we take a look at all the other little nodules, the other little spheres, there's seven of them. There's the big central one and seven others. And if you look closely at those others, you will see some of them have what appears to be a moon right next to them. They appear to be double. In other words, not just one moon or one planet, but two, kind of like Earth and our moon. That's what they look like. And there's seven of them. Now, the Egyptian symbol for this planet, the name that the Egyptians used for it was Hercolobus. The Sumerians called it Nibiru. The symbols that they used to symbolize Nibiru or Hercolobus were almost identical. It's a round sphere that has a wing on each side. It's a winged sphere. Now, if we take that winged sphere and stand it up vertical, the central part of the design of it's what we have in the Egyptian winged sphere. You have the winged sphere, but then you have a cobra on each side of the sphere, and the cobra's body extends, for instance, the cobra on the right, its body extends to the right and then curves upward to the top of the wing. So whenever we stand that symbol up next to what we're looking at in space, they look pretty doggone identical. I don't know that this is Nibiru. I don't know that. And certainly if it is, I don't know whether it's a brown dwarf dragging planets and moons or whether it's a big planet dragging moons. I don't know. But I do know that this thing in the sky up there next to the sun looks pretty much like the symbol that the Sumerians and the Egyptians drew to represent it. We have a central sphere and then sort of two wings of space junk coming one off each side, and we've got seven nodules or spheres in the whole conglomeration, in addition to the central. Okay, so you've got the big central bulb or sphere, and then seven other spheres. So it appears to match the description, and maybe that's what this is. I cannot say for sure. But I can say for sure that these photographs were up and were taken down. I can say for sure that if they were taken down, there must be a reason if they were there. And by the way, if you go over to the page that opens when you click that picture on my website is the page for the Core 2A camera. If you go to the page for the Core 2B camera, you will find June 29 is also missing on that list. June 29 simply didn't happen for those two cameras according to the list. And yet we know it did because some people got some of the pictures downloaded. So there's something about June 29 that's especially disturbing to somebody who doesn't want you to know about it. But the pictures already went up on the internet and people already downloaded them. Therefore, what was public domain is public domain. You can't unbreak a window. The information is out. What do you think when you look at this? Do you think that that is possibly Nibiru? Do you think it fits the description? Now, if you don't think it fits the description, if you think it's something else, I'd like to know what you think it is. I'd like to know what you think is so important about this that the day went missing at the Naval Research Laboratory SETI website. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. And I'm going to open the telephone lines. I have already, and they are open, I've already anticipated at least one of the questions that I'm going to be asked. And I will tell you, the first person that asks it, I will tell you, that's it, bingo, you got it. We'll just see how far it goes before somebody asks that question. All right, let's go to the telephone line. And, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Well, Kevin, it's Jackie from Florida.
Well, you started this. How are you doing, Jackie?
I never expected to be on the website on a YouTube video, I'll tell you that.
Well, how about that? So you're a star now.
I have two comments, and one, if you would like me to, I do have the camera settings that my friend used for the picture when he took it directly at the sun.
Okay, go ahead, and you tell us those, and I'll put the picture up on our TV screen.
Okay. I don't really know what this means, so I may be saying it wrong, but the ISO of 800...
Okay.
And the aperture setting was f8,
mm-hmm.
and the shutter speed was 1 over 1500, and
okay.
That's the information I have on that.
And I do understand that, and so, you know, but and other photographers would understand that.
Good.
So others may want to go out there and try that. So now let me ask you, what do you think about this?
Well, this June 29th is awesome. The pictures of that day, and I don't know where I saw it, and I have my friend Gail looking too. We saw them put together as a 13-minute video.
Hmm.
And we talked about the crescent-shaped object and what that was out there. And the way you have it, you know how you were thinking that it looks like the solar flare, the energy is going through it? I think
uh-huh.
what it is the solar flare is between us and the object, so it looks like it's passing in front of it.
Well,
is why we see it as a continuous line of energy.
Yeah, I thought so too, but whenever I got the one that's zoomed in
uh-huh.
and we look at it, we can see it does not pass over it passes through it.
Still looks like it passes through to you, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the picture from the 29th is awesome. It looks like such a structured thing.
Uh-huh.
And my friend's picture being so much farther away, of course, it just looks like a round planet, but you can see so many different features on it. It's very interesting, that's for sure. But I had to call in, and I'm going to enjoy the rest of the show.
Well, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Are you watching the show tonight?
Yes.
Okay, so you saw whenever I did the overlay with all the little
yes.
circles?
Yes.
Do you think, in your mind, that that matches the description of Nibiru?
I think it could be a definite rendering of, you know, that kind of an idea. If you were even describing it to someone, how else would you describe it? It reminds me, when I first saw it on the video, I told my friend, I said, it almost looks like, you know, I can't remember which sci-fi Star Trek it was, but it looks like the Klingon ship by one of the Birds of Prey.
Well, you know what? It kind of does. It
so
does.
It's out there and its wings are going out and then kind of goes down at an angle and then down at another angle like the Bird of Prey ship did.
Yeah.
Which goes along with this symbol from Egypt.
It does. It does because the wings are falcon wings or
yes.
eagle's wings. And, of course, that's a bird of prey.
Yes, that's what it reminded me of was the ship.
Yeah.
And the center is definitely more pronounced than the rest of it. When you watch the video, the center, it definitely looks like there's a center and then two sides for sure.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I just hope more people do get out there. Like you say, most of us sit in the house. I've sat in the house, but I don't have a camera to use other than a very old, really crappy digital camera. But I know people out there have wonderful equipment. They can go out and try and use it.
Yeah. They could. And you know what? Before I let you go,
mm-hmm.
making that day disappear draws mm-hmm. attention to it.
Oh, for sure.
If they had not done that, it would not have drawn my attention. When I got these photographs, they were interesting. When I found out that whole day had disappeared from the list, now I had to do something with it.
I am so thankful that whoever downloaded that stuff got it, and then you found it. Because that picture is awesome looking of that day of the June 29th.
Yeah, it is. It really
yeah,
is.
It really is.
Okay, thanks for the call, and thanks for
sure.
starting all of this.
Okay.
All right.
Good night, Kevin.
Good night. 623-444-5889. What do you think about it all? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming, and could you switch back to the original zoomed-out picture for a second?
The darker one?
No, the brighter one.
Okay. It's now, done?
The one with the sun in it. With the
oh, okay, the more distant one.
Yeah. Now, I honestly don't know what that is, but I will say this. If it was a rock, a ship, anything solid, the light is shining off of it from the wrong side.
Yeah, I think what we're looking at is we're looking, if you will, at the top. We're sort of looking from the top down on this structure, whatever it is. But here's the deal. If it was a spaceship, the body of the spaceship would be reflecting light just like the edges are that are showing us this backward C.
Yes, but if what I'm saying is the backward C, the reflection is away from the sun, not towards the sun.
Well, no, not really. Not really. Look, you see that ray of light going right through the center of it? That ray of light is headed right for it, and it's illuminating the top of it.
It's a matter of perspective, I guess.
Well, if this thing is approaching the sun, then we're looking at the top edge of it as it's approaching the sun.
Okay.
And so the light would be shining right down on the top of it. And that's where we're seeing.
Looking at it. But
yeah.
What I was going to say is, in my opinion, I honestly don't know what it is, but the Project Stargate, they have the remote viewers. They say they discontinued it. I honestly don't think they did. Because if they did, they would have eliminated a source of information on what this kind of stuff could be. And if they are paranoid enough about it to eliminate a day on their a date on their cameras, their public domain cameras, they have to have some means of knowing what it is.
I have no doubt that these scientists at the Naval Research Laboratory that are dealing with this data, I have no doubt that they know what it is. But nobody's talking about it.
Well, that's the way you pointed out with seven planets in the debris field, that could possibly be it. I don't know, because that main central part does look kind of like it has, I won't say wings, but it's got a fuzz section on it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, Brent, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Yep. Goodbye.
Goodbye. 623-444-5889. What do you think about this? Now, let me say, for those of you who are not in the United States and you're not in Canada, I realize that calling us is it requires you to make an international long-distance call, and that is expensive. I recognize that. For that reason, I have for you on my website something called the Flash Message option. If you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada and you don't want to make that international long-distance call, what you can do is go to my website, scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, and right above the picture is the link that says Flash Message. Okay? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Rex from Miami.
Hello, Rex.
Hi. I went to the website, and I'm poking around some other days. I haven't been able to find any other images that show the object.
All the other images do. If you are you watching the show tonight?
Yes.
Okay. If you're watching the show tonight, then watch your screen, and you will see a blue image come up on your screen. And that blue image is from, I think it's from the 30th, but I'm not sure. But it is one of the images off of the Core 2A website. And the image that you have on your screen shows...
I see it on the 30th now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there. And it's been on there. We can find pictures all the way back to 2007 where it's there. But they're not talking about it. So, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is has been out there for a long time.
Do you know on the older pictures, can you tell if it's changing at all, position, how close it is?
No, it doesn't appear to be. And the fact that it's always in the same position, at first I thought, okay, that's got to be some kind of anomaly with a camera. It's, for instance, if you have a scratch on the lens of your camera, that scratch will show up in the same position in every picture, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I was thinking, well, maybe there's something anomalous about this camera that's causing that. When I looked at all these blue pictures, and it's you see this thing there all the way back to 2007. Okay, the problem with that is that Core 2A satellite, or camera, is on a satellite, and it's moving, and it doesn't snap a picture from the same position every time. Therefore, this thing should, relative to the sun, should move around, because the satellite is moving. But it doesn't move around. Furthermore, cameras here on Earth see it.
Yeah, I wonder, one explanation I could think of for maybe why it stays in kind of the same area would be if it's coming in a really steep angle, which is what I think Sitchin has said, from the position of where the satellite's taking the pictures.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is if this was an anomaly on the camera, if it was a scratch on the lens, so to speak, that would move it around because the camera moves. Hang on, we have to take a break, and I'll come right back to you. We'll be back, folks, right after this.
I'm calling from Florida, and you are listening to the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. Healing medicine for the mind.
All right, welcome back. On the telephone with me is Rex from Florida. Rex, you might be interested in knowing this. I got a flash message. I'm not going to read the name, simply because of what's in the message, and yes, I'll read the name. I will not read what country it's from. This is from Ross, and he says, Kevin, as of just now, the Core 2 Ahead photos for June 29 are still available here, and he gives me a link. Well, this link is over at NASA, okay? And he says, I've just downloaded them all in case they too disappear. I'd like to hear what Mr. James Horak makes of the anomaly. So all these photographs are available over at that link, and I'll put that in the K files. However, understand that what's over there at that link at NASA, those are not the originals. The originals go to the Naval Research Laboratory. That's who downloads them. It's their equipment that takes the pictures. And so if they've shared them with NASA, what we may have on the NASA site might be edited versions, or maybe certain pictures are just not in the bunch.
Okay.
you know. So I don't know. I haven't seen that. All right, so what do you make of this? Do you think that this is Nibiru, or do you think that it's something else?
It's curious. On the bottom of the sea, where you've got the distinct objects with separation, I could definitely see that as being separate objects like moons or really large debris. What I'm curious about is where you have the solid lines. That's the part that doesn't seem to make as much sense.
I would think that is debris field. A big cloud of debris.
Pretty big one.
Well, yeah, but see, everything that we've been told about Nibiru tells us that it is a huge pile of junk flying through space.
Yeah, it could. I mean, if it's really big and pretty solid and dense, I suppose it could look like a straight lines to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm motivated now to go take pictures with the settings that the caller said.
Uh-huh.
I'll go give that a try now, since, you know, it's pretty easy to go out and do that ourselves.
Well, if you get something interesting in those photographs, I would really appreciate it if you will forward some copies of those photographs to me.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm going to go out and start trying to do that.
All right. Rex, thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. 623-444-5889. What do you think about all of this? Nobody's asked me the question yet. If nobody asks me the question, I will tell you what it is before the show is over, and we will. I will address it. But nobody has yet asked me the question that I was sure was going to come up right off the bat, but it hasn't. But you've taken a look at this, and if you haven't seen it, well, you've heard me describe it. Imagine a backward sea, and along this backward sea, there are spheres. There's one big central sphere, and then strung out along the lines of that sea are seven other spheres. So it's, like I say, it's big. It's really big. It is relatively near the sun. It's been showing up in photographs on the Core 2A and Core 2B all the way back, as far as I was able to find and as far as the person helping me to research this was able to find. This has been showing up since 2007, maybe further back than that, but we didn't find any photographs that went further back than that. What do you think it is? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
It's Greg from New York, Kevin. How are you?
Fine. Craig or Greg? Okay, let me ask you to do something. I'm going to give you a minute to do it.
Can you hear me, Kevin?
Yep. Turn your volume down on your computer and listen to me on the phone, because there's a delay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Is your name Greg or Craig? Okay. I'm going to give you another minute to turn your volume down, and then we're going to have to move on. You have to listen to me on the telephone, because there is a delay. Okay, so is it Craig or Greg?
You know what, Kevin, I'll call you.
Okay, all right. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. You've got some idea in your head as to what you think this is. It is near the sun. Now, if it's approaching, when I say near, that's in relative terms. You understand that, don't you? The Earth is near the sun. This thing is near the sun. We are 93 million miles away, and you may think that's a big distance. However, if we were just, say, 90 million miles away, it might be way too hot here, you see. So a little distance makes a big difference when you're dealing with the sun. Whatever this thing is, it's big, and it's near the sun, and it appears it may be moving toward the sun. If it's moving toward the sun, that means it's really, really big, because it doesn't appear to change its size relative to the sun. That means it's further away than we think it is. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Greg from New York. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, Greg?
I'm doing great today, thanks.
Good. What's on your mind?
The question, I guess I'm not sure if this is the one you're looking for, but the question that I'd like to ask is this Elenin?
Is this Elenin? No, that's not the question, but it's a good question. And the answer to that is no. No, this is not the comet Elenin. Elenin was just discovered a few months ago, and it's pretty small. It's not gigantic, but it was just discovered a few months ago, and this thing has been on film at least since 2007. So it's okay. This is not Elenin.
My thoughts were that they were interchangeable, and they're just, you know, the smoke screen just gave it a different name.
Yeah, some people are saying that, but it's not. Elenin is relatively small, and it showed up on photographs only a few months ago. So that's not what this is. I don't think we have a lot to worry about with Elenin. I think there could be, you know, a little bit of debris that's going to that will pass through and. It'll kind of rain down on Earth a little bit of debris. There may be a little bit of disturbance in our magnetic field or our gravitational field, and that may set off some earthquakes. And
okay.
Some people might say, well, that's not, when you say it's a little bit of disturbance, that's big. Well, yeah, but in relative terms, compared to this thing, if this thing comes past, whatever Elenin may produce is going to be microscopic compared to what this thing can produce.
Okay. Now, the image that you had up, you know, I've tried to trace that because, you know, I've been looking at a lot of different photographs, but the one thing I did notice from what you put up was that there was a lot of censoring on the image. I mean, a lot. And I could see, you know, there's a black mark just above the right corner of the edge of the top there.
Well, which image are we talking about? I've used a bunch.
I'm sorry?
Which image are we talking about? Because I've used a bunch.
I think that was the 29th image.
Okay.
Where you were making a correlation. Yeah, exactly, that one there. Now, if you look, you see where the little black streak is just on the right edge? That's a sensor mark.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I call it like a Sharpie mark. They take that little pen and black it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not natural to the image or the photograph. That's something they didn't want you to see, whatever it is behind it.
Interesting.
You see that often. And then if you look within the center of the image where it's just all dark, that's been censored. And down below where the cloudiest looks sort of like clouds, those are all sensor marks. And I've gone through thousands of them like that. And there's a technique that they use. They're good at it, but you can sort of bring it out what it is they're hiding if you have a good photo editing tool.
Okay.
But basically,
what are they hiding in that? In the center of the backward sea, in that dark void there, what do you think is there?
That's what I don't know. I would love to get a copy of the image and put it through my little test and send it back to you. But I can see just from that black mark, when I see that on the top edge, I know it's been touched up already. That's the dead giveaway for me all the time when I see that. That's their model. That's sort of like their signature.
So if they did this
all the time.
Yeah, if they censored it,
nothing ever comes to us like a Kodak moment.
If they censored it, why do you think would they then feel it necessary to pull the photographs for the whole day?
It must be something something they don't want us to see, and it's obviously important.
Yeah, yeah.
That's you could deduce it from that from there, and just go forward that they don't want us to see it, and whoever got a hold of the photograph before it was released to the public had to do their little Photoshop.
Well, you know, I can
Photoshop name. Who knows? They may have used another tool, but
I can see in this photograph, and other people may not be able to see this. Everybody's eye is sort of tuned a little differently, but I can see in the void there, in the backward sea, I can see a disturbance in the coloration that gives the appearance of a sphere.
Yeah.
Do you see that as well?
Yes, I do.
So maybe there is a sphere there.
Yeah, I believe it is also.
Okay, tell you what.
That's what I'm concluding, but I'm also thinking that it's a unique kind of sphere. It's got, before I even make any assumptions, it looks like it's got structures.
It does. It looks like it has ribs.
Yeah. You know, if you look to the left of the sensor mark that I call the little black image, you can see the ridge. Now, that generally is a sensor mark also, but it's them trying to hide it or cover it up. But it has the form of some kind of roof, building, top, or something. It's not, certainly isn't a crater.
Okay, tell you what, you send me an email so that I can attach, I'll reply to it and attach this photograph and send it back to
okay.
you. And
okay.
Then you you can share with us then what your results are, and we may do a show
sure,
on that too.
I'll try to do it right away before show closing, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Thanks, Henry.
All right, bye. All right, well, that'll be interesting, won't it, to see if... when he puts this through some photo processing, we find out what is hidden. That'll be interesting. We'll be back right after this. Kevin Smith Show to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is John, still sweating in Arizona.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
Doing well.
I had a thought, and I'll run it by you and see what you think.
All right.
In the ancient writings, they talk about a time when there was no moon around the earth.
Okay.
And if this is Nibiru coming back on a 3,600-year orbit, maybe the last time it came through, we stole a moon from Nibiru, and it's coming back after it.
Well, you know, it might be. I don't know. I would say if this thing, whatever that is out there, if it is moving through our solar system, if it is Nibiru, whatever it is, I would say you look at all the natural disasters that have ever happened on the planet, and you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, I agree. I was just thinking if it had a planetoid or a small moon rotating out around it, like Pluto is around our sun, if the Earth passed between Nibiru and that Pluto-type planet, it would not be out of the range of possibilities for the Earth to capture it, assuming everything was going in the right direction.
Yeah, there would have to be some real special things happening for us to be able to do that, though, because our gravitational field is simply not strong enough to capture the moon, nor to hold it in
right.
the orbit it's in.
Right. But, you know, if you look at it from the standpoint of Nibiru's moon coming even closer to Earth than our moon orbits, and
it could be. I mean, you know, there could be some special dynamics taking place there.
Right. And, it's higher math than I studied when I went to college. But
yeah, it's above my pay grade.
Anyway, that was the only thing I had. I just wanted to throw that in there.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for calling. How hot is it in Mesa today?
Well, we only got up to 106 or 7 today.
Well, you're still in the grips of that that cold snap.
Yeah, you know, anything under 115, you know, and we don't worry about it too much.
Yeah. All right. Thanks much. I appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Thank you for the call from Arizona. I used to live in Mesa, you know. I've lived in Phoenix. I've lived in Tempe. I've lived in Mesa. All of that's the Phoenix area. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
We're talking about Nibiru coming through again, and of course this wing disc that you're showing in comparison to this was, you know, used all through the medieval periods, and in that movie Anunnaki 1, they use this as the designation of how the ships that they piloted to Earth were made, with a round disc, and then when they were in the Earth's atmosphere they would extend those wings to glide to help them navigate through the Earth's atmosphere. But we talk about Nibiru, and based upon the Sumerian tablets of how it came into existence, or how the Earth came into existence, people tend to forget that when one of Nibiru's moons collided with that Tiamat, it split it in half. One half became the asteroid belt, or the iron bracelet, and the other half was projected like a ricochet shot into the third spot around the sun. And that Tiamat had a moon they called Kingu, K-I-N-G-U, and that moon then came along and followed and fell right in line with the soon to be Earth. Now, I know that people are constantly looking for to talk about this and Nibiru and all that, but they're just picking bits and pieces. They're not following the chronology of how this whole thing came about.
Okay, but what do you think this thing is?
That thing looks to me like it's some kind of a space vehicle that's been parked up there. Maybe one of the EMVs that we talk about, you know, from Ringmakers of Saturn, Dr. Berggren. This appears to be holding a pretty stationary orbit instead of just, you know, coming on and on and on.
Well, that you're exactly right about that. The only thing is, if it was really far away and approaching, and it's huge, and if we're looking right down the barrel at it approaching, the only difference we would see in its position would be its size would increase in the pictures.
Now,
but it doesn't appear to do that.
I have a question.
All right.
The people who or the whoever made the EMVs and stationed them around the sun to hopefully drain off the excess solar activity to protect the solar system.
Yeah.
Could this be a holographic image?
Well, anything's possible.
And if it's a holographic image, well, the technology to generate such an image would be immense and way beyond the little images we project.
Well, one would have to wonder, to what purpose would they be projecting an image like that? What function would it have?
Possibly, did you say this thing's been there now for like 5 or 6 years?
Well, I've read that it's 5.5 years, yeah.
So, in the last 5.5 years, the space program of NASA and military programs have progressed leaps and bounds, and their abilities to view things like the Hubble and all that, if they redid that so they could look in deep space and so forth and so forth, and probably could have used the Hubble with filtering to look at stuff like this and not tell the public about it.
Yeah, but so, why would it be a holographic image? What would a holographic image accomplish?
Well, just like a magician, misdirect. To take the attention off of what they're really doing and have us
do
something else.
Are you saying you think we have the technology to project a holographic image and keep it in the same place up there for 5.5 years that's that gigantic?
No, I'm not saying it's us that's doing it.
Uh-huh.
I think it's whomever is operating these EMVs would be the ones doing it.
Hmm. Well, maybe. I don't know. Mike, I do have to run, though, and because we're coming up on the end of the show, but thank you for the call. Good thoughts.
Okay, thanks.
All right, what's the question? I just knew somebody was going to ask me. All right, Smith. You have spent all this time telling us that you don't think December the 21st, 2012 is going to be an Earthbuster, and now you're suggesting that this is possibly Nibiru. How do you reconcile them? Well, I'm not suggesting that it is Nibiru. I'm suggesting that it has some characteristics that fit some of the descriptions of Nibiru. How do I reconcile it? Not at all. Not necessary. Nibiru is Sumerian. December the 21st, 2012 is Mayan. They're not connected. And they've only been connected by people within our genre who have decided to connect them. They are two different, completely different situations. They are not connected. The Mayans don't talk about Nibiru. And December the 21st, 2012, according to the Mayan calendar, is the end of an era, not the end of the earth. So I don't reconcile them because they can't be. That's like reconciling oranges and apples. They're two different things. However, whatever this thing is, if it's coming through our solar system, it might get rough around here. All right, that's going to be it for this evening. I want to thank you for being here. Thank everybody who called. We had some good thoughts, good discussion. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.